This is the homily for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2026, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass for the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 22, verses 19 to 23, the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. The homilist was Monsignor Robert Cannon.
I'm sure you've heard many homilies where the priest uses this particular gospel to ask you the question, who do you say that Jesus is in your life? Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter was very clear and made actually a kind of a declarative statement. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus rightly points out that this gift of wisdom, the same gift that we have, is a gift of Almighty God, part of the wisdom of the Godhead that St. Paul talks about in Romans. But with his statement, though, when he declared that, we know in the Gospels, and Peter is mentioned in all of the Gospels and also in the Acts of the Apostles, that he was inconsistent in his belief. There are times when he denied that he even knew Jesus Christ. Aren't you one of his disciples? Oh, no, not me. When Jesus said, you know, come to me, and he was walking on the water, and Peter went there, and he started to sink because of his lack of faith. Again, Peter wasn't always consistent in how that declaration of faith was lived out in his own life. And I think you can examine your own life where you can say that, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, but there's a difference between just having that in the head and having it drop into your heart so that you live it, not just say it, but live the wisdom that comes from faith through the grace of God so that I, in all things, try to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God in what I say and what I do and how I act, that I can somehow reflect that belief in my life. Not just say it, but to live it. That is the key. I think one of the beautiful things about St. Peter was that head knowledge then was enfleshed. And with the Pentecost and the descent upon the apostles and Mary, his heart was inflamed to proclaim what he had come to know in his head, now felt in his heart. It drove him out along with the other disciples to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So it was just not a creed. It was just not a creed that he believed in, but in the person of Jesus. That's the reason why Pope Francis very clearly said that the first step for any believer is just not to say the words, but to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, then that catapults them into the world to share what they have experienced. And so for you and me to believe, yes, but then to live it out is a daily challenge. It is said that when you come to know Christ, you fall in love with him. And the more you fall in love with him, the more you want to know about him. That it becomes the preoccupation of your mind and your heart and your life. That he becomes the centrality, the ultimate principle, the rock by which then we build everything else of our lives. Again, not just believing and having a nice rock on our dresser. No, but to have that firmness and conviction of heart inside of us. Then upon that rock, we can build our lives. So when Jesus says to Peter, upon you I will build my church, the rock that he's talking about is just not the physical person of Peter, but that rock that Peter had come to acknowledge that Jesus was the Lord, and for him to be the one, the first, to proclaim that in a beautiful way and leading the other apostles as the senior brother of those who follow Jesus to share that with the world. And so, does a chair of Peter have a place in our church? Absolutely. Does every pope that sits in that chair have an obligation to Almighty God to share the mysteries of God with those who have not yet come to believe and to encourage those who do believe and living their lives more faithfully to the gospel? Absolutely. I can't tell you how many Protestant chaplains that I work with in the military would say to me, you know, you're lucky that you have a pope. We don't have that unity of thought and mind. We don't have anybody to lead us like you do. Or a Protestant chaplain will say to me, I really like our pope. And I'll look at him and say, but you're Methodist. Well, he's my pope too. And such an affirmation of the place of Peter, that role that was given to Peter originally by Jesus. So that through his authority shared to Peter, that he then may guide others to salvation with that divine authority that comes from God. I shared this some time ago. Perhaps you were here when I offered this. But there was a wonderful, he was kind of an artist and a composer and wrote poetry. His name was Christopher Smart, if you remember me quoting him. He lived 1722 to 1771. And he wrote kind of a poem that was turned into a hymn, which we sing here. It comes from Hearken to the Anthem, Glorious. And listen to what Christopher Smart said. People thought he was kind of an eccentric, crazy guy because he was preoccupied with talking and sharing about things of God. All he wanted to do is just talk theology, and people thought, oh, this guy's really whacked out. No, he was filled with a love of God. It preoccupied his mind and heart. This is what he said that I'd like to share with you. Take from him what you'll give him, of his fullness, grace for grace. Strive to thank him, speak him, live him, till you find him face to face. May that be our desire, too.